Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. Today we're going to take up the Word of God once again, the daily readings from Mass, or at least part of the daily readings. The first one is from the letter of James. If you've never read through the letter of St. James, I'd encourage you to do that. It's so good. And there's sections in there where it's James is teaching exactly the way Jesus taught in certain ways, and especially Matthew's gospel and other gospels, where Jesus is talking about commandments and to be rightly responding to God's commandments in our life and elements and distinctions between the world and the kingdom of God. And so we get an example of that today with James, and he's addressing wealthy people who are misers, that they're really holding on to their treasure. Now, Jesus said it's not easy for a rich man to get in the kingdom of heaven. So I want to talk about what this reading is saying today, because I think it reminds us the importance of having the right kind of relationship with money. Money's powerful. It's an idol. It's a power. And it requires us having the right kind of attitude toward it. And it has a way of grabbing hold of people's hearts in a way that it's surprising, but that's the nature of the spiritual power that can be behind money. If we don't approach it in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, in obedience to the Lord, understand that our treasures in heaven and the treasures that we acquire on this earth, they come and go, and they're certainly not the source of our identity. But here's where it gets difficult, because when human beings acquire money, you generally acquire influence and power, and you just feel it, and you want to, and you have greater autonomy, and more people want to be around you. You have more options in life. You have more capacity to create comfort for yourself and security. You can also forge an identity for yourself, and people pay more attention to you. So all those things are present, can be present. And so it's important to really have the right kind of relationship with money that comes from the teaching of Scripture, and you need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that so you can be free from its power. And so it's at the service of you as a disciple who are living under the lordship of Jesus, whom you serve, and you are living in love. Jesus is leading you in to live in love toward God and neighbor, and everything's at the service of love rather than at the service of money, which plays on things in us, our fallen flesh, our ego, our pride, our desire for power and influence and control. And money does bring about, make that stuff a lot easier in this world to have. And so it's very critical. It's important that we have the right relationship to money. It can literally puff up very easily. But here, James's words are very strong. And then Jesus says some things about obeying the commandments, and that we'll talk about as well before we're done today. So here's James says, "Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have now corroded." And that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. "You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You've lived on earth in luxury and pleasure, and you've fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and you have murdered the righteous one who offers no resistance." There's a lot here, but there's a number of places that James touches on this, as does the Lord himself and the apostles. There's nothing wrong in and of itself with having money and acquiring money, lots of money. The question is, what kind of relationship are we going to have to money? And here James is giving an example. No, these persons that he's challenging are saying, you've acquired wealth and you've stored it up for yourself. So much were you focused on it that your concern was only for you and not for others, and you swindled other people, and you used them. And so here, the Lord really doesn't like this kind of stuff, and he's going to judge it. "Eternal creatures made in the image of God are turned into means rather than recognized as ends. That is their own intrinsic value. What does it mean to love someone in the biblical sense? It means to will their good as other, right? To will their good, recognizing their dignity as children of God. And when our pride and our greed blind us, and we exercise power to secure our own comfort, the devil can get in there and say, guess what? Even though you've got a lot of money, you don't have enough. You need more. Acquire more. Well, how am I going to get it? Cut back on their wages. Cut back on them. Then what you do is you give in to the temptation and the pride that puts you first on the throne and puts your concerns first and sees everything through an optic of your own self-concern and your own being puffed up and secured and powerful, and you're going to ensure you get everything in this life that you could have. It sets you apart, and then you fail to see the human dignity of the other. And now, you know, people get away with it in this world, but not the next world. James is very clear, and the words are very hard. We will be judged for this. And so this is why the saints, when they really, you know, fell in love and received the great treasure, which is Christ, the eternal treasure, the eternal rewards, and seeing eternal perspective, their attitude toward money changed. Paul said, hey, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. It comes and it goes. It's in the hands of the Lord. I don't care. It's all his money. It's the Lord. Now, I know people who have lots of money who are very different than this. They're incredibly generous with their money. They give every year they don't tell me this, but I know it. They give large sums of what they make every year. They just give away, like big percentages, not just tithing. Like tithing is like a minimum. And I know people give 40, 50, 60% of their income away annually. And they don't blow trumpets. They don't stand up and necessarily put their names on buildings and look what I've done and look at the philanthropist I am. There's a lot of Christian people out there who are extremely generous. You can have almost no money and still be greedy and still be under that spirit of greed and envy and jealousy and be driven by pride. But the warnings from Scripture are clear. Be careful about money, because money will play on these temptations we have, being fallen creatures, to exalt ourselves, to secure our own safety first, to secure our pleasure. And so we multiply home after home. I mean, just living in a country like the one we've lived in, which has been so blessed in so many ways, we live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world. And prosperity has pretty much been there for huge numbers of the population. What, from the point of view of the whole world, it truly is prosperity. Maybe in comparison to Bill Gates or somebody, it's not. But look, over half the world lives on $10, less than $10 a day. Even in these days. So it's critical for us to be able to see the spiritual dimensions that are at work here that play on us and play on our fear, play on our desire to be safe and comfortable and secure, instead of thinking of others and say, what can I do for others with my resources? Because I know I'm taken care of. I've got the Lord. And the Lord gave me these resources. Blessed be the Lord. He gave them to me. But I want to store up my treasure in heaven. I heard one guy say it this way: take your financial resources and invest them in the things that God values for others. That's a good way to store up your treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And for a lot of people in this world, men and women, lots of men in particular, it seems like their treasure is the gold that they've acquired for their lives, their money and their possessions. And say, okay, what am I going to do? Is this going to be the end? Is this going to be the goal of all this? For me to have it, possess it? This guy's saying, no, take what you have and invest it in the kingdom. Take care of the poor, take care of the lost, take care of the broken. And don't sound the trumpet. I mean, you can if you want, but you lose your reward. Scripture says, if you're going to get all your gold here, the passage is saying, and you're going to ensure all your security here in a way that takes away it from other people and you fail to see the humanity and the dignity of others, this is going to be as good as it gets for you. You've got your reward. And look, what you've given everything to and you invested in, James is saying, it's rotting away. It's passing away. Now what remains for you is judgment. That's strong stuff, but that's Bible. That's the teaching of God. That's the teaching of the Lord. And then he also says in places, don't trumpet it all, because if you get your reward here, you're not going to get the full reward that you could get in heaven. So there's just some good wisdom there to deal with money. And so I'm not just saying this for us as Americans to automatically feel guilty. If we should feel guilty for something, great. You know, but there's an antidote to that. It's repentance. It's change. And we can do that. It's just, it's really important. We don't hear too many homilies on money. But money is an issue for all of us. How do we handle what kind of relationship we're going to have with money? Am I free of it? Is my security and my identity and my whole worldview, is it in the Lord? Is Jesus Christ the optic of my life? Or are material resources and everything, is this where I get my security and my identity? And so Jesus talks about generosity in the gospel. If anyone who gives a cup of water, a cup of cold water to drink to someone who belongs to Christ, amen, I say to you, you will surely not lose your reward. You know, you give a cup of cold water to a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. You know, Jesus loves this kind of kindness and generosity and caring and compassion and being able to give from us. And the other thing that's interesting is, and sobering, it's very sobering for me, is the teaching about the widow's mite. You know, she gives her last penny, basically. She gives out of her need very dramatically. She doesn't realize it. She's being generous, being loving. And Jesus said, you know, if you give out of your superabundance, great. Okay, that's a good thing. But it's nothing like giving out of your need for the sake of others. That's an extraordinary act of love and surrender and trusting God. So that's stuff we should be chewing on and helping each other in the church lay hold of, so we have the right kind of relationship to money. It says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were to be thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life, that is eternal life, maimed, than to have two hands to go into hell, to Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. Do you see, this is one of those hard sayings of Jesus. He's saying, look, the commandments are real. They matter. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, he said. That's the love language of heaven. The commandments are good. They're God's way. And this is how the creature, one of the fundamental ways a creature worships the creator, in the offering of our life, in saying yes in obedience, as Jesus did, even to the point of death on a cross. Jesus said, don't sin. Don't turn against the commandments of God. Refuse God, what belongs to God, because it'll harm you. And he said, it's better for you, whatever's leading you into sin and disobedience, it's better to not have that. So he's using the hand. Is it your hand that's doing it? If that's it, cut it off. It's not worth it in this world. Even though only having one hand in this world is hard, it's nothing like entering into Gehenna with two hands. So we need to take this stuff in, friends, and let it stir us and listen to Jesus and let it form our lives and minds. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.